Hello, everybody. Welcome to BB Bledis. This is the show that you listen to. How are you doing? It's been great to see you. Sorry we were off a little bit for a week. We got our schedule all messed up. All of our lives are in complete disarray because we are all trying to do things that are big and adult and stuff. Buying cars and getting married and mm-hmm. doing things like this.
So beating Dark Souls. That takes a lot of time.
Listen, we have a lot of energy is being put into Dark Souls at this moment on my side.
Buying a truck.
Mm-hmm. Buying an awesome truck.
Rusted old truck with drug money.
Now, are you going to haul awesome. Anything in this truck?
Oh, I'm going to become one of those scrap metal guys. I already have a lot.
Really?
Like,
okay.
I don't know if you've never seen my like driveway or like my lawn or anything, but there's mm-hmm. a lot
I
of
haven't.
It's just money. I'm leaving money on the table. And every time it rains, a little bit of it rusts away. So that's like a couple cents that I'm losing.
Okay.
From rust. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
Why do you have so much metal?
You know, you just drive around, you see something, you're like, oh, that's made of metal. Like somebody's thrown out a grill or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you see trash, I see treasure. You know,
yeah.
That's the hustle mm-hmm. mindset. That's the that's the Sigma grind set that I'm on. I see somebody throwing away just a hunk of metal, like an old engine from their car. They're just throwing it away mindset. on the street.
Grind set.
I pick it up. I put it in my truck. I bring it to a metal recycling place. They give me like 30 cents for it. It's scared money don't make no money. That's what I'm
saying.
That's
like life finds a way.
Yeah, you know, maybe if you're advanced enough, if you're like Cypher in the Matrix, you don't even see the code and you're like, I don't even see the metal. I just look, I see that's one brain force pill, that's some fish oil capsules, that's my gym membership. If I get like 50 more pieces of copper, that's how I'm going to pay for it. That's the real Sigma mindset. Everything around you, you just see in terms of the monetary value you can extract from it if you act in the most sociopathic way possible.
Look, don't knock the fish oil because I take that every day. And when I'm 65 years old, my skin is going to look 63 years old.
63. Wait.
Yeah.
I will exactly. You're going to save
years.
2 full years.
Yeah, they're going to be like, sir, you don't qualify for the early bird special. You're only 63. And you'll be like, young whippersnapper, I'm 65.
I don't think 65-year-olds talk like that.
No,
they talk like normal.
Yeah.
So then I have to get into a thing where I start like hunting, like stalking and hunting 65-year-olds for sport, where I then peel their faces off and wear them in order to get senior discounts because I just look 2 years younger than I actually am.
Yeah. Ed Gein, you're special.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they cut out the scene in Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal wears a guy's skin on his face, but he just uses it to get into to an R-rated movie.
He uses it to get a free discount at Hometown Buffet.
Yeah. He's eating all the organ meats, imagining it's from a person.
Yeah, if I had a pickup truck, I'd put a gun rack on there.
That'd be pretty cool.
That's right. I'm literally building a Tachanka in my driveway. What?
Yes, the beep beep dream has for the past years has been.
What would I want
to
do with that?
Create a Tachanka.
Like I'd want to set it up so I could like play a synth show on it, like that guy in who's playing a guitar in Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Like someone else drives me around, and I'm just like blasting synthwave on the highway.
Well, I was thinking about that lately because I've been looking for a truck, there's a lot of just like absolutely roached old vehicles that people put up for like a lot of money. Like it's like, oh yeah, this doesn't run. It's covered in rust and the frame is bent like 45 degrees. I know what I have, 8K firm, you know?
Wow. Why is that happening? Are there tons of people who want to buy old shitty cars or something? Like why are they so expensive?
So for those kind of sales, I think it's just like people heard that it was, a good time to sell your like old shitty vehicles, and they're like, I'll just put this up for an insane amount of money. But
some
I was thinking
bullshit
like
podcast is like, it's time for you to cash in.
Oh, yeah.
Sell now.
If I sometimes listen to FM radio just to get a glimpse of what the normie life is like.
Sure.
And all the commercials are like, do you have an old shitty car that's taking up space? We'll buy it. Use credit, no credit. And like, we'll give you over asking in trade in value. And I'm just like, I feel like that's a sign that the economy is all fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, the economy is awful. I mean, America is, it's weird. I feel like even in 2008, I mean, it may be because I was a kid, you know, I was like barely 20 years old or whatever in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
How old was I? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think I was like 21.
Something like that.
it just feels like back then it felt like something big was kind of happening.
Yeah.
But most people I knew weren't like affected by it in the way that it feels like now. Like literally everybody is just like having the same exact really strange problems or benefits from it. Mostly problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking about before the show started, like people, you know, you see on Facebook, like somebody who's like, you know, is not financially stable enough to buy a house or something is like, hey, I just took out an extremely high interest loan from a bank that knows that within like 3 months, I'll be completely underwater on this house. And it's just like, that's a bad sign.
It's bad within and of itself. Like, it's like, you know, these people are going to get ripped off, but like, what is the domino effect going to be this time, mm-hmm. considering this just happened? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. People are talking about 2017, like it was a long time ago now. So I don't know. Maybe my mind's all fucked up about like what time is, but I'm in my mind, like the 2008 financial collapse just happened. Like it was just the last decade.
Yeah. I feel like in like economic terms, it's like, it takes a while for like the ripple effects of something like that to like fully be reversed. Like, I don't know, wasn't it only at the end of Obama's term when people were like, oh, the economy is back to normal, like whatever that means. I don't know what fucking like insane neoliberal metric they use to like decide that, but like I feel like it was only like years ago that it was like, okay, we're at a point where everything is like back to normal, quote unquote, and it's like clearly very abnormal right now.
You say that you feel like you've gotten caught in a time vortex, Bryn, but I am honestly nostalgic for 2017. Things were so much simpler then.
Trump was president.
You knew exactly who to be mad at. You knew exactly, you know, just what epic memes to post. You know, everything just made sense. Now the world has gone topsy turvy.
That's true. Who are we mad at? Even
DaBaby.
We are really mad at. yesterday we were like kind of high and watching an Anthony Fantano video about like DaBaby, and it was like he was very serious when talking about like why the homophobia was bad and why people shouldn't defend it or whatever. But my brain started zeroing in on the fact that he kept saying DaBaby, and I was just like DaBaby to myself.
It's a really fun, yeah. When they do that song on the radio, that's like pop stars Dua Lipa and DaBaby. It's that. There's something about that phrase. It just sticks in your mind.
DaBaby is hilarious. It's
all so that funny. Shit on radio is like designed by an algorithm to appeal. Like, not just pop music. Like, you listen to country music, and it's just like various cultural signifiers smashed together in like in a row to trigger the like, you know, the exact things in your brain that exist because you're part of whatever demographic you're from. But like, it's so fucking funny to me to listen to like pop radio. And as soon as that happened, all the stations, like they used to play that one Dua Lipa DaBaby song like every 20 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. Like at least two or three times an hour. And then I have not heard it on pop radio.
Interesting. So there's actually like, it feels so strange. Like, I mean, I know like he said stuff that like made a lot of people mad, but it felt so like bizarre that it's like hard. Like,
it's so hard to imagine getting mad at DaBaby.
Because
and like losing
he's
his
a baby.
Fucking first of all,
why
he's
would
a baby.
You be mad at a baby? Okay,
he doesn't know any better.
Yeah,
he's baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like defend what he said, but I feel like people say much more homophobic stuff all the time and stuff that's much less like goofy. You know, he was like, any guy who's not sucking dick in the parking lot, and then he was like, well, that isn't because I don't like gay people, it's because my gay fans aren't crackheads who suck a dick in the parking lot. And it's like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Who look, are you talking? What stereotype?
I just think that DaBaby and Matt Damon should do a collab performance where they come out hard against cancel culture.
Yeah.
Matt Damon is probably the most unfairly canceled man since Shane Gillis.
I don't think he did anything wrong. I also don't know what he did.
All he did is admit I don't to really personal read the growth news. And somehow that is suddenly a crime in America where you're if you grow suddenly it's a bad thing.
Yeah, If you change and realize you did something wrong.
I like to think that he was only using like cancelable language because he was still really into his character from Good Will Hunting.
That's right. How about them apples?
He was still just a crass,
stupid fag.
Boston guy who's just
he said
like,
that to his daughter.
That's how they greet each other in Boston, okay?
But that's what's so strange about it. It's like he wrote that movie and won an Oscar for it. Like, that movie has the F slur in it all the way through. Like,
I watched Talladega Nights, and they had to have said the like retard like 7 times in that movie.
Oh, sure. Everyone used to say that like 20 years ago. Like, that was not a slur at all.
No, 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Five
exactly.
years ago, everyone decided that those two words were now like, you can't have a career. You can't be in public life. It's just a bannable offense in real life. And it's like, wait, what? I mean, okay, they're not nice words. Everyone knew they weren't nice words. Mm-hmm. But like being like, you're at the level of an open like bigot because you say say retarded. It's like, okay. I feel like
I don't think it's kind of stupid to as a pod like come out against like the evolution of language.
We've talked about this a lot on this show. I'm not trying to start it.
If you're Matt Damon, your publicist has got to be like shitting themselves because you decided that it would be a good idea to be like, hey, I used to say this, but I don't say it anymore. Can I get like a positive glowing media cycle, please?
Well, also saying I used to say it. Months ago, like the story he told is so insane, where he was like, I'd be at the dinner table, you know, using it in a joke, and my daughter got up and walked away angry, and I was like, come on, it's a joke. I say that in one of my movies.
What joke is he? He's like, he's saying grace, and he's just like, in order to put it on television, you would have to beep like all the like half of it's like Trump wishing all the haters and losers a happy new year, but
thank you to the beep and the beep and make sure that the beeps get some beep. And his daughter's like, Dad, stop. He's like, what? I'm just joking around with God. He loves it.
This is how Christianity works.
In Boston. This is how Catholics speak to God.
No, but what's funny about it is that like if he had just pretended that he found out 5 years ago, like everyone else, that it was a life-ending offense if you say either of those words, like no one would have cared because everybody can go like you can prove this by looking like name searching those words in literally anyone's Twitter
and Asian racism.
Oh right, that's
people
that's,
used to make like Asian jokes all the time, like up true. Until like
I don't remember that very much, but it seems very common.
No, if you look at Jay Leno, hasn't there been a bunch of things where like like a Vox writer or somebody like that, like somebody will tweet search them and they're like, man, I really hope they didn't put cats in my General Tso's chicken.
That's a very famous joke. Everyone is just like, but it's also funny because it's like, who cares? It's a cultural difference.
Mm-hmm. But do you hear about this thing now where California is implementing rules about, I think it's chickens and pigs need more space. And there's like, on one side, there's like people who are shitting themselves about it and being like, you'll never be able to buy bacon in California again.
Yeah, I saw one just about the pork thing. I didn't know chicken was affected too. And the tweet I saw basically said like, the rule is only that like, they need to give slightly more space for the pigs to like be in the pen or whatever. And it's possible that just like that amount of space means like they'll be making way less pigs in a given like square footage or whatever.
I'll be damned if I ever let my hogs turn around.
Yeah, like it sort of
they
seems
don't
like,
need any space. What do they need to see behind their ass for?
Don't look at your ass. I would never look at my ass if I was a pig.
Well, that's where I keep my porn collection.
If the meatpacking industry and the agriculture industry is working on such razor thin margins that like even giving their livestock, you know, a couple more cubic feet of space is going to increase consumer prices like crazy.
It is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean,
or they
on
might
one
just
hand,
pass on the expenses or whatever.
On one hand, it could be that, like, yeah, their industry is like trying to squeeze so much profit out of it that it would affect it. On the other hand, they could just be using it as an excuse to raise prices,
right? Which they do constantly. They're all absolutely that they've been using the fucking pandemic to do that this whole time, being like, oh, what if we pay our employees a little more, then we'll have to raise the price of the burger or whatever. And it's like, it's never true. That's not how it works. They are charging you as much as they possibly can right now, that because if they could charge you more and they thought you'd buy it, they would charge you more. But
did we talk about on the show that thing about how the McRib like exists to stabilize pork prices?
I think a little while ago,
I don't think
like
I
how
that story.
Whenever pork prices drop, like pork commodities prices drop, McDonald's brings back the McRib because they're able to buy a bunch of pork at like low prices. Then that big bulk buy that McDonald's, like the corporation, does across the board raises pork prices to the point where the pork farmers are making the amount of money that they want to make, so they don't have to sell just to McDonald's anymore, and the McRib goes away. And how like that sandwich exists to like stabilize an entire massive sector of the agricultural economy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's I don't think I realized that it like stabilized everything too in that way.
I think we should have that for everything. It's like as soon as broccoli prices go down, McDonald's introduces fries, but they're broccoli.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think as soon as 9mm prices go down, they give you a free Glock at McDonald's.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Imagine a society where every like commodity fluctuation would eventually come out the other end at a McDonald's, because then your average consumer could actually, like, you know, it's like if you're some average Joe on the street and the price of like oil dips below $40 a barrel or something,
yeah, who
doesn't
cares?
Really affect your life that much. But if you go to McDonald's and they're like, here, sir, do you want your complimentary cup of oil because prices are so low, then you can use that oil for all kinds of things.
Yeah, they give you Vaseline.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a strong case for a centrally planned economy, except it's already a centrally planned economy, but the people who are planning it are fucking evil.
Yeah, that's right. And they're basically, I mean, it's Chicago school shit, right? It's just like dictatorships are good if you are supporting free markets. Business or whatever. Yeah, free markets. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? How is that good or working for anybody? I mean, it's good for the people who have money.
Yeah, under communism, you could always get a McRib and the price would always be the same
for free.
Can you imagine humanity?
The stupid thing is that you might be able to like get more Americans on board with like, you could have really cheap oil for your boat and a free McRib under communism than like the actual benefits of communism or like the actual like political economic like realities of communism. If you were just like, you will get free McRibs for everyone,
they'd be like, all right, cool,
sure, whatever, if you guys want to do it, I won't stop you.
Well, the McRib came back under Trump, so you do have to hand it to him.
So we have to elect Eric Trump president if we want more McRibs.
You can at least get him on Cameo now for like $500.
There was a fun discourse on Twitter this week where European YouTuber Sean, who in my memory is like, you know, I don't know if he's a sort of a liberal, you know, he's sort of a light.
A yeah. He seems like a Dem sock or something.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't remember. Whatever the fuck. Yeah. Who gives a shit? But he said, it's like he did like a quote tweet of some tweet that said, like, what's a political opinion that like, will get people mad at you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Trump was an average president, which is like just correct.
Above
like,
average,
no,
even.
Yeah.
Above average because he didn't start any fucking wars.
He also didn't
the
do
bar
9/11.
Is so fucking low.
The bar is on the floor. He didn't do 9/11. I mean, the worst thing he did was like kill Soleimani and made like the concentration camps worse, which are bad.
But yeah, notice you didn't say he created concentration camps. He made them worse.
But wasn't it for every single year under Obama, they put more people in those camps than each year, every single year under Trump?
Yep.
Something like that?
So it's just like an obvious like truth. Mm-hmm. And man, he like went negative viral.
People were
like,
so
people
mad.
People were mad at that
which
guy.
Was so
yeah,
funny.
He just wanted to be main character of Twitter for the day.
I probably.
Yeah.
I don't know if he orchestrated that, but in the way of people getting mad at him. But I just it really reminded me that we are in, and I think we've all said this on the show before, but we are in such a worse place now than we were when Trump was president.
Because it gave the libs a busy box.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like a busy box and also just like a thing to check out. Like getting Joe Biden elected was their big like, well, let's make the final push for George Floyd and elect Kamala Harris. And then after that, they were like, now let's hang up our hats. And I mean, I doubt there's probably millions of people who like genuinely thought that. They were like, well, a black woman vice president is like the beginning of justice or something.
It's
and then now
George
they're not going to protest
would have wanted.
Anymore.
It's what he
yeah.
would
yeah,
have wanted.
It's, who
it's
he
not,
voted
it's
for.
Not, it's not like a police person not murdering him. It's he would have wanted Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I think this week they were like, yeah, she's the most unpopular vice president of all time.
Well,
is that
like
true?
It totally clicked in my head. It's like, that's why they haven't killed Biden off yet, because they know that if they did that, it would be too obvious and it would basically start Civil War II.
It very well might. I don't, well, I think that's, it's just, you know, cause we said before, like what's so dangerous about Biden as the nominee, is not anything he's going to do, but like how everyone is sort of going to take this as like, we got to win and beat Trump and then
beat
go back
fascism.
To normal and everyone will stop thinking about it. And that's what happened, because I think what we've seen in this past, you know, the past 8 months or eight, what is it?
Six.
August?
Oh yeah.
It's August. So 7 months.
Yeah. But also he became president end of January.
Yeah, whatever. 6 months.
Need time. Remember that?
Need time. You know, but what we've seen is just like people completely losing interest. Because I feel like there was a sense that even among what I thought was good is that even among, you know, liberals and, you know, Republicans, liberals, there was a sense that the state and the country on what could be at any moment falling apart. And we'd have to figure out something else. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were very stressed out by that and had a terrible 4 years with Trump because they were like, America might fall apart, you know? But I felt like that was a good thing that like, you've got to, you know, not to be an accelerationist, but something has to happen for there to be something new.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just feels like there's this weird stagnation of like strange corporatism, just like riding around New York and seeing how everything's become banks and like loan offices and H&M's and Sephora, you know, like global capitalism has like firmly set in a way that I don't think it had in the past 10 years.
The thing is, like, thankfully, outside of, I think, the major metropolitan areas, like that level of density will never happen. It's just impossible. Unless we do the Matthew Iglesias thing of 1 billion Americans, of course.
God, that guy's such a fucking moron.
I was just thinking last night how funny it is that like he just has his whole job is like to be paid by the state to think he's really smart when he's actually one of the dumbest men alive.
he gets a salary to get ratioed. Iglesias like posts something like that like every other week.
Oh, yeah. He's a genius at coming up with them.
Well, he's like an open fascist, but he calls himself like he isn't, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with the current democratic regime. They are open fascists, but they get cheered on by like half of the population because they're like nice about it. They're like, we like Hamilton. We You know, I wear sunglasses and eat ice cream.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Not even half the population, half of the electorate who is already like half of the population. Cause I was just thinking about that. Cause I was looking up Kamala Harris's numbers and it's like, she's like 45% favorable, 48% unfavorable. So she's like -3 overall. Some article said that makes her like the least popular vice president since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like liberals, all it's like people who are like in the Iglesias type world, like NPR listening, like read the New York Times, whatever, are like, oh yeah, tons of people think like us. And they kind of forget that they're like 50% of, or they're like 45% of 50% of the country. It's like about half of the electorate is like in that kind of liberal like headspace. The rest of the country either hates them actively or basically doesn't give a shit. Like, they don't care what Kamala Harris is doing. They don't think she's cool. She's not helping their lives.
And they don't give a shit because they know it doesn't matter to them.
Right.
Like, there will be like mediocre like changes in like the economy. Mm-hmm. They might have to pay a dollar more for gas, or they won't be able to get an abortion or something.
Yeah.
But like, those are huge things that they will notice and be mad about. But like, the individual assholes doing those things, they know, they're very aware that nobody is going to do anything good for them.
Right. Like, for a lot of people, Kamala Harris is basically like an even more shitty and annoying celebrity, except she's not going to be in like a Fast and Furious movie you can watch. So there's nothing to like about her. It's like they like Tom Cruise because they can watch him be in an action movie.
So what you're saying is, in order to do full communism, we need to do a Fast and the Furious movie with a cameo from Kamala Harris.
She must be in Fast 10.
A walk-on
role. What would she drive?
Like, now,
what
Mr. Rock,
what,
I don't...
What do you think she would drive?
Would she just be a traffic cop who gives them all tickets for driving too fast? Now, Mr. Rock, I don't think... I don't know if you can be going that fast. You can't be going that fast, okay? We're going to have to write you a little ticket, okay? Mr. Vin Diesel?
No. They're all like CIA now, right? Like,
wait, that's true. They work for Kamala Harris in the fucking Fast.
Fast and the Furious people?
I think The Rock plays a federal agent when he first joins the movies. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the past like five or something, I don't know. I've only watched one of these.
Are like spies or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At a certain point, the plots of the movies become they're driving cars really fast, like for the government, basically. They're doing like really dangerous missions to fight. Yeah, it's really stupid.
It started off as just like brown kids street racing is like the premise of the first movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, by the third movie, it's like Japanese kids street racing. And then like by the seventh movie, it's like they have to like steal banks, and then like the FBI is on their tail, or it goes crazy.
We're fucking driving cars into a super villain's like hideout to fucking steal diamonds
again,
or something. I've
seen zero of these movies, so I'm only just saying what I've heard.
There's some kind of heists involved that, and also like the bad guys are like enemies of the state from what I remember.
Yeah,
basically.
Do you think it's gonna be Fast Furious 10 or Fast X Furious?
Like, oh, that'd be good. The X would be good.
Speaking of like street racing, you guys see all this like news lately about just people driving dirt bikes and ATVs in New York City, or just like cities in general? Like,
I mean, I've
seen them. They're confiscating dirt bikes. They're raising fines.
What? Oh,
and
come
it's like,
on.
Yeah, I mean, like people are having harmless fun, like riding bikes, riding ATVs in the city. It's like, what, you know, where the fuck else are they going to ride? You know,
well, things are only going to get worse because of Eric Adams. I mean, just being a full on police state.
Did he win?
He's officially won.
A
few days ago, NYPD seized at least 565 illegal dirt bikes, ATVs, in the last 3 months on NYC.
The best part of this is that, like, the like Karen types that are always complaining about this, they also have like a Black Lives Matter sign in their yard.
Of course.
And they're fully aware that like bike life culture is primarily a thing that black and brown people have in cities. That is like a positive community thing. You know?
It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a safe and legal thrill.
It doesn't. Yeah. Nothing bad happens. They just people ride by with like motor revving sounds and you're like, oh, cool. Someone's having a great time. They're popping a wheelie with their friends. They're living life.
It's awesome. I'm always like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's so fun to see them ride by and do the wheelies and stuff. But apparently they don't like it. And I was just talking to you, Todd, about they lifted certain bans because on things without like under 30 or 50 cc's, I think we're talking about, because Revel and Lime wanted a piece of that fucking like rental moped shit money.
Oh, so it's like the kilowatt equivalent of the CCs or whatever?
I guess so. I'm not sure how the law is written, but I do know that like a lot of bikes, like actual engine bikes, became illegal again. So I guess they're probably getting them on like technicalities of like, actually you're not, these engines aren't, you know, what I'm assuming is they're probably being like, oh, these are too high, or, you know,
well, I mean, I think it's like a 50 cc or lower is like legal, and then above that they can confiscate it if it's not like legally registered, or if you just don't have blinkers, like shit like that, where it's like you can just do a hand signal, like you know how to ride a fucking bicycle, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's
right.
It you know, and then it becomes like a spirit of the law versus the law written, and it's literally just another fucking broken windows way to put young people in jail, specifically people from communities of color.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's just so despicable. And they're like, they, you know, legalized weed, which all cops are very upset about. You can see them just mad.
Hell yes.
Like, because people
can
are
you just smoke on a street corner now?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you just blow it in the face of a cop?
I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Like walking down the street with a bong, you know, just hitting it.
I have not seen that, but I guess we were, I don't want to say exactly where, but like in the neighborhood, we walked by a place and we're like, what is this, like a smoke shop or something? Because we saw a guy basically like doing what I think was like a dab rig. And we asked people outside and they were like, oh, it's a dispensary and you get a free dab hit.
But it looked like one of those bodegas that has nothing on it but like one can of cat food, you know? Like it didn't look like a dispensary. It looked like a room that like people had rented and are just selling weed out.
I honestly would trust that more to get good weed than a dispensary.
Yeah,
100%.
Because they're not selling that cop shit. You know they're selling that locally grown shit.
Hell yeah. It looked cool as hell.
Yeah, we were like wondering if it was legal or not. Like, obviously, I'm not going to ask the people like, hey, do you have a license to be doing this or whatever? But
yeah, because they would think you were a fed.
Yeah. Because we talked to someone at a different like smoke shop, like just a place to buy pipes and stuff, or like CBD weed. And he was like, yeah, I think like in another year or 2 years maybe is when it's going to be like shops can get licenses to operate. So I assume they were just kind of like, well, it's not illegal now. I just won't have the license. So we should just do it and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm just hoping it's not a honeypot.
Yeah.
But I would like to support them if it's
I guess that's what I was afraid of too, is that they wanted to like have you do a dab hit and then cuff you or something.
I think they were, but there was enough people doing it who were not being cuffed.
That's how they get you. Those, it's like when you go to a magic show and the magician has plants, so he's like someone from the audience come up.
I see.
But then
it's
actually just his assistant that's tricking everyone.
You gotta watch the pot smoking lawyers. Those two lawyers that go on TikTok.
Oh, I love those
guys.
Shut
the fuck up. Yeah. What do you? The cop comes into the dispensary. What do you do? You shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up Fridays.
Those
like
guys are
big
incredible.
Time Tommy. Hey, it's big time Tommy, old school for life, OS. Yes.
Absolutely.
Come down to my law school.
We're listening to some 90s freestyle. It was like a weird, kind of like a weird type of music for that kind of guy to be listening to, but also like good for him.
It's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Cool.
I've got early 2000s Cadillacs up the wazoo over here.
I wonder if John will be making TikToks like that in like 30, 40 years. He'll just have long white hair and making like videos telling kids how to like navigate places where weed is still illegal.
I got an El Camino and now we're playing Widespread Panic or whatever. Old school for life. We're making relish tuna in the can.
Oh, John making work snacks.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine what kind of car he would like. Like, what's the car? Is it a car? What's the car that looks like an Oldsmobile but has like a truck bed in the back?
Like an Oldsmobile Ute?
I don't know.
Like a custom conversion?
Just from like the name, like a Ute sounds like the kind of weird car you'd drive in Michigan.
Was it it came from the dealer like that?
Yeah. It's like an El Camino looking thing that has like a truck bed in the back. Yeah, like an El Camino.
Oh, like an actual El Camino. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think I know what you're talking about. There was like a domestic market, like Ute style car that like was sold in like really small numbers, like in the last 10 years.
Oh, really?
Wait, this thing? Chevy El Camino? And it has like the truck bed kind of? Uh-huh. What is going on in this? This is a strange car.
I don't know, but I feel like John would get into those.
Yeah, John would have that. Yeah,
no,
totally.
Those things rule. I was at a car show and I saw like an original the other day. But there was a domestic, but the thing is, like, those are super popular in Australia. So when you see one, sometimes, you know, you, like very rarely you'll see. Well, I guess in Australia, they just got to haul stuff, you know, brings us full circle. Sometimes you just got to haul shit.
Sometimes you got to haul stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just hauling ass. Sometimes you're hauling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you I don't know
how it be.
There's a certain, I'm like the level of amount of shit I can't do that I want to do in New York City has gotten me sad. And like, I don't
like what kind of stuff?
Like, you can't have a gun here.
No gun.
You can't have,
you can,
well, you can, yeah, but it's hard.
You try hard enough.
It's hard. You can't do it legally.
So General Motors made a car called the Holden, which was an Australian market car, but there were some that were imported to the US, but they're really rare.
The Holden.
Yeah, it's just a ute. It's just a General Motors manufactured ute.
Yeah, they're cool.
Like, a ute is just a generic term for any like sedan that has a pickup truck bed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now
yeah,
we know.
Utes are cool.
These look weird sometimes. Like the like certain sedan bodies with just like a pickup bed in the back. Like, the shape looks really strange.
I love it.
It's cool though. Yeah, why don't they make more pickup trucks like that? It's like, so many people have a huge like pickup truck and they're not even hauling anything in it. Like, at least if you're gonna haul like small stuff, just
so
put
if
it on
you
a
want
ute.
A small low to the ground like compact pickup like that, mm-hmm. You can get like an old Volkswagen Rabbit pickup for like $3,000 or $4,000, and that was a domestic market U.S. car. But mm-hmm. I'm not trying to turn beep beep into like car talk.
Car here. Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
what if it was car talk but communist?
That's mm-hmm.
How about them Yugos, folks?
Probably has to be a thing eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the like everybody's trying to get on the podcasting bandwagon. It's just like, we're gonna do wait don't tell me, but it's communist.
That's really not a bad idea. Maybe we should erase this part of the episode and make that.
Yeah.
Don't want to
just think about all the tote bags we
free.
Could sell. Like, I mean, we can make as much money as we're making from Beep Beep just selling tote bags of the show if it takes off.
I think there is a tote bag on our merch store.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
you
I think
put
that's
it up
true.
There a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of as a joke
because we were talking about like doing NPR shit.
Yeah.
A podcast person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta
I don't remember our
bag.
Old bits. That's why mm-hmm. we probably have done several bits more than once on this show.
We've done a lot of hours of the show.
It's a lot.
Episode 148. And we have also done 130 something regulars. So that's like probably 300 hours. If you consider all the times that we've like gone over 1 hour.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of episodes. That's a lot of fucking hours of stuff.
Once we hit 40,000 hours, then we'll be experts at podcasting.
Yeah, then we'll know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because we'll each have put in 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours for each of
yeah,
us.
Each one.
Malcolm Gladwell said we'll be experts.
So yeah. The four hosts of the show as a hive mind will be experts at podcasting. We'll be one expert.
We'll be one expert. collectively.
Then we can wear that shirt that Barron Trump wears that says
the
that
expert.
Just says the
expert.
He's the expert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell just like has a whole career built off of like basically pulling stuff out of his ass and people being like, wow, this is the smartest thing I've ever heard. He's like, thanks. I just made it up. But I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed.
Yeah, you said it in such a way that made me feel like you really knew what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. The Hell way yeah. you like cherry picked that data and molded it into the idea and narrative that you already had for what the data would mean. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Incredible.
You proved it.
Beautiful. Man, I met Nassim Taleb one time, and that guy seems like the dumbest
you
asshole.
You met him?
Who's
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
That guy rules. He's like...
He's the guy who wrote The Black Swan and Anti-Fragile.
He's Tariq Nasheed, but for Mediterranean people.
Okay. Wait, I don't know who Tariq Nasheed is.
You don't know him?
He's like... Buck-breaking? He did
he's
the...
A huge,
oh, that guy.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
huge hotep guy.
Nassim Taleb is about to drop like the hottest, you know, like Mediterranean exploitation film of... or to blow the lid wide open on Mediterranean exploitation. You know The Sopranos?
Yeah, yeah.
Was just an Italian exploitation.
Italo-sploitation.
That's right.
Italo-sploitation.
Coming in hot on this one.
Yeah. I didn't know that. But yeah, that guy is a huge dumbass and also really annoying.
He rocks.
It's hard to imagine being like this kind of like public intellectual figure and not becoming annoying. I don't really know who could pull it off, honestly.
Carl Sagan.
Yeah. Yeah, like Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan is the only one.
Yeah.
Because he died.
Yeah.
He died before the like modern era. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, imagine him on Twitter trying to be like fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, he'd be dead by now, right? Like,
probably.
Carl Sagan would be like right at the beginning of YouTube. They would have like had him on as like a Noam Chomsky style guest where he's like so old he can like barely talk.
Yeah, even Noam Chomsky like has like he low key fell off.
High key fell off.
Yeah.
He can barely talk. I mean, so Sagan was 62 in 1996. I thought he died young, which I mean 62 is fairly young.
Yeah, no, he didn't die like super, super young. He just died
like 2006 he would have been 72.
Mm-hmm.
To 2016 he would have been 82, so
you could be kicking at 82.
Yeah, you know, but he'd be in his 80s now. He'd so be he'd old. Be like pretty yeah. old.
But I mean, that guy from fucking Connections is still alive and he looks like an old man when he made Connections.
Oh, yeah,
remember, he's like around right now. You can,
what's
like
that guy's name, John Birch or James
Burke, I think.
James Burke, that guy. Yeah, is cool.
He's cool. Yeah.
He's
a cool public intellectual, although he's not really very famous.
Yeah,
he's just a TV guy.
But speaking of Matt Iglesias,
speaking of public intellectuals,
yeah,
more like intellectuals.
There was a
right?
More like cubic, because his head is the shape of a cube that's been had all the corners sanded off.
Intellectualize these nuts.
There was a Guardian article today, last a couple weeks ago, says companies claim there's a labor shortage. Their solution: prisoners.
Jesus Christ.
What?
And
that's the thing. It's like
what the fuck?
The like enhanced unemployment, like all that shit is just laid bare that like no shit pays good. Shit
right.
Should be paying hella bad, and then these companies are like, should we raise wages? No, it's the workers that are wrong. Let's bring in some fucking prisoners.
Let's bring in slaves. And I think that's the thing. It's like, this article is from a couple of weeks ago, but there was a little bit of a discourse on it this week today because of the eviction moratorium that you mentioned, maybe at the beginning or before we were recording. And that's sort of what's happening. Like, this is sort of this very large shift into if you are homeless and it's illegal to be homeless, and now you're homeless and
then you're a criminal. That's how it works.
Then you're a slave.
Yeah.
Right. Cause now you can just be put to work for no money.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was always like criminalizing minor offense, like nonviolent shit has always been the back road to making people slaves again.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's,
they're just accelerating it.
Coming home to roost. And I don't know how far it's going to get. I mean, at what level of, you know, just having slaves again, are people going to start rebelling?
No, but we wouldn't want a January 6th again. We wouldn't want the democratic norms of this country to be challenged.
We wouldn't want our sacred halls where, you know, our elected god kings of the Senate and House live. They live
there.
That's
why it was such a good strategic move. It was like, let the fucking MAGA people in and pretend like it's the scariest day in the history of the country. Mm-hmm. And then when you can just keep making things shittier and shittier for the working class. And if they ever try to rise up, you just say that they're trying to do a fascist uprising.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is just like January 6th.
Yeah, just start crying and be like, they almost knocked over Nancy Pelosi's sarcophagus while she was napping inside of it. They almost woke her up from her 1,000-year slumber.
God damn. Did you see that there was a whole thing where it was like, Biden was like, I can't extend the eviction moratorium. Only Nancy Pelosi can do that. And then Nancy Pelosi was like, I can't extend the eviction moratorium. Only the CDC can do that.
Yeah, the CDC, I think.
The CDC was her excuse?
Yes.
No, that's wrong.
That's absurd.
That's not true.
It's so bleak because it already, like, I know there's like nominally been one, but like I've read about a lot of people being evicted and I think they were like, they tried to tell the courts that there's supposed to be a moratorium and it's like the courts are like, whatever, Like, it's already
CDC
like.
The CDC is like, we can't extend the eviction moratorium. Only the reanimated corpse of Franz Kafka can do it if you fill out a series of like 300 Byzantine forms.
Yeah, you need B27/B.
Yeah.
Or you'll, we're going to have to take your whole house and put you in this electric chair.
Yeah, listen, we're gonna give your house to BlackRock for free.
The only way we can extend the moratorium is if you awoke from uneasy dreams and found yourself transformed into a monstrous insect. If that's the case, we're not evicting you. Otherwise, tough fuck of the cookies.
Right, but well, that's why
Matty Glazes is allowed to do those takes, because that actually happened. He woke up one day a giant bug.
That's why he looks like that. Yeah, he used to look more normal, but then he woke up one day. Except it was uneasy dreams, and he was like, oh, cool. Now when I eat bug paste, it'll be even more tasty.
That's right.
In the future.
Wow, I can't believe this happened.
Didn't mean to interrupt you on that. No.
Wow, I could probably have like 50 kids now that I'm a bug. We can get to a billion Americans so fast. This is going to be great.
Sometimes you just got to get the thoughts on the table before they slip.
Just turns into a Dark Souls boss. Crawling with baby cockroaches.
He could become that. Would like it would be perfect as like he was trying to create 1 billion Americans, but through the dark alchemy he was doing, he transformed himself into a giant bug. So you fight him, and it's just like a room where there's all these like Vox like stickers on the wall and podcasting equipment, but all these like broken beakers too. And it's like kind of Matt's head, and then like all these bug eyes growing out of his like neck and the side of his face and stuff.
Yeah, all the blue checks. Sick. I'll bring just, my like, blaster stuck to the wall.
Yeah,
just start blasting.
Oh yeah, or he's like some kind of like combo, like other like Ethan. Wait, what's that guy's name? Ezra Klein.
Ezra Klein.
It's like all the different like blue check journalists are all like stuck to him as a fucking like rat king.
Like a Katamari Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what's happening.
That's right. Yeah. That's happening right now. That's what's happening in the world. And you can rely on Beep Beep to tell you the real truth.
Mm-hmm. You can take that one to the bank.
They don't want you to hear.
Yeah. The they thems. They don't want you to hear.
Oh, which is that what what they don't want you to know? It's like what big they them doesn't want to tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're secretly running the world.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody refers to somebody in a conspiracy as them, it's they're referring to people with they them pronouns. Mm-hmm. That's who's behind it. Yeah.
It's not anti-Semitic. It's just non-binary erasure. but no, I mean, it's not even just a moratorium, right? Or it's not even like, oh, they don't have to pay rent. At the end of this moratorium, you're expected to pay like 18 months of rent. Is that
what
basically
doing?
How it, I mean, that's what a moratorium is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's not
just
even
putting
like,
it off.
God.
So it's like, you better been saving up rent every
Yeah, nobody's
month.
Doing that.
Nobody's yeah. doing that.
Like, I mean, there's been some like, awesome Reddit posts of like landlords who are like, this eviction moratorium has been terrible for me. My tenants didn't pay rent for 18 months, moved out and bought a house.
Yeah, good. Those are great.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
I hope more people had that happen. But
see,
God,
the thing is, it's like that's a terrible policy. It's like you should just be subsidizing people because they lost their jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And like,
what
unemployment
are we paying taxes
only goes.
For?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like when there's a crisis, the government should fix it. They shouldn't just punt it down the road. But mm-hmm. what it ends up being, and like I talked about BlackRock, like BlackRock has a bunch of people in Biden's cabinet. So what it
of
like
course.
Policy wise, what it ends up being is like a bunch of like landlords that maybe own a couple properties, and it's like, you know, it's still usury for them to be building equity off the backs of their tenants, but then mm-hmm. they get gobbled up by firms like BlackRock when the eviction moratorium means that they can't absorb the cost of their tenants not paying rent. It's like a smaller right. evil getting gobbled up by a bigger evil.
Yeah, it's all just going to feed into the pockets of enormous housing companies.
And it's tough to talk about, because it's like, how do you talk about it without people thinking like, oh, well, you just think that it's cool to be a small business owner, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'm not crying for the landlords, but I don't want there to be a national private state landlord either, you know, like that is worse. We can say one thing is bad and one thing is worse.
Yeah, like I said, it's like we have a planned economy. It's just the people that are planning it are fucking evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Absolutely. Also, next year is an election year, right? Like the end of 2022 is like a third of the Senate.
Is that True.
And every seat in the house. I mean, it's going to be a long time. It's like 1 year from this November. So it's like a year
and
change.
You think the United States is going to exist by then? I'm ready to be annexed by like the Midwest will just get absorbed by Canada. Like the Texas and the surrounding states will like try doing their own thing, and it'll be like Dubai where they have a bunch of oil money. The West Coast will just burn, like there will be nothing left. It'll just burn to the ground.
Okay.
And then like New England will get absorbed back into England, and then like the American Southeast will
again?
Like yeah, we'll give the American Southeast back to Mexico or something.
Mm-hmm.
Make America Britain again.
Florida becomes part of Cuba? Like, what if every like anti-Castro Cuban's worst nightmare comes true, and they just take over Florida, and then that's new Cuba?
Alternatively, or DeSantis commissions like an army, like mobilizes a citizens' militia of boaters with like 30-foot fishing yachts to go down and do like a control Cuba, and suddenly Florida secedes from the rest of the United States over mask mandates, and then they go to they go to Cuba, they steal Cuba's like because Cuba has the only working vaccine, and they bring it back, and they Florida becomes the unstoppable epicenter of the new America.
Oh man, like everyone at the Villages who's like an 85-year-old Trump supporter, they get the vaccine from Cuba, and then suddenly they have the youth and vigor of like a 45-year-old.
They become just superhuman. Like a bunch of
they're like jacked super soldiers with boats. So you get like anti-Antifa super soldiers, and they just start taking over the rest of the country.
So fascist super soldiers.
No, anti-Antifa.
Anti-fascist?
Yeah, it's different.
Mm. Anti-Antifa? Is that like...
My name is Auntie-Antifa.
the sister of Antifa Waluigi's mom or something like that?
Yeah.
that's deep
how it
lore.
Gets there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, how come you never hear about Mario and Luigi's parents?
Because they don't have any.
They were
grown in a lab.
Yeah. They're clones, I guess.
Do you think Bowser grew them? Like, he was trying to perfect Koopas, and then Mario and Luigi accidentally came out. He flushes them down like a chute, like a tube, and then they end up in the lowlands, and they have to fight Goombas, and that's why they're going after Bowser. Like, the whole princess thing is just an aside. Like a side quest.
I like this theory.
So Bowser's actually God and created man, and Mario and Luigi are the first two men.
That's right.
There's not many other humans in most Mario games. It's just a bunch of like turtles and weird toads. Maybe toads were like a sort of failed.
This is prehistory.
Attempt at men. That's why they have like the weird mushroom hat, and they never fully mature. That's why toads are so small.
It's just their head.
Yeah. Right. No, it is. It's their head. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. Yeah. So then he also made Peach. That's why he's always trying to get Peach back, because he made her to be his girlfriend. But
it's like
an
Adam and
Mario
Eve
instead.
And Luigi thing.
Yeah. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam
and
Luigi.
And Luigi. what if God made like Adam and Eve, and then he made another guy that is like kind of like the beta? He made another guy that gets friend zoned by Eve.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's like, because in the real story, he made Lilith first, supposedly, and she was like had a free will, and she was like, God sucks.
I never heard
that
story.
And then they like tossed her out, and she was like the
typical
bad
woman.
Yeah, and then
God
made,
am I right? Am I right, fellas?
And then made the subservient Eve, and that's who she is.
But oh, like she, he so, made he made God like he made Lilith like whole, and then was like, I should make Eve out of Adam's rib.
Right,
that'll
make
her less. Less uppity.
Yeah, and that's like the real, that's like the story, and she got cut out of the Bible.
I've never heard that story.
So maybe
none of my lore very
in
well.
This version, God created Mario and Peach, but then Peach was two-spirited, and that's why he's trying to take her away, and then he's like, no, you should be gay, Mario and Luigi.
But they're like, oh, we don't want to be a gay. Okay. Yeah, we would rather have sex with the
Peach.
We're
actually brothers.
So does Daisy end up with Luigi in the game canon?
I guess so.
I feel like it's like implied, yeah.
So God made Daisy to gay therapy Luigi.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it's Japanese, There's all sorts of
you
weird
never know.
Anything could be happening.
And shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure all of this has been covered in various hentais that already exist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, always, if we read Japanese, sure, yeah, we could solve all of this with, like, 30 minutes on whatever, like,
there's, like,
website people use.
BP Bledis's one fluent Japanese-speaking listener is like, come on!
Yeah. He's been composing an email for 20 minutes, he or she, about, like, all the stuff we've missed by not reading Japanese and learning all this lore.
Yeah, actually, in the regular lore, Mario is a demon. And Luigi is a demon killer somehow,
and the Koopas are all like regular citizens being terrorized by a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And the Koopas, like, and stuff.
Yeah, it's like that Lord of the Rings fan fiction where Sauron is just trying to peacefully industrialize the orcs, and mm-hmm. the hobbits and Gandalf are just
you were telling me about this.
Yeah, just like last week I was trying to remember like what that book was. Yeah, it's like from the
Russian,
80s or something.
Yeah, it's a Russian book, I think.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what if the orcs were oppressed people?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Fellowship of the Ring was just a council of small business owners.
Yeah.
and the nations, I don't even know. I'm fucking blanking on my Lord of the Rings lore. But all the orcs and shit, they were trying to do like communist industrialization,
mm-hmm.
right?
Nice.
And the ring that the Fellowship casts into the fires of Mordor is when you put it on, it gives you the debate prowess of Ben Shapiro.
Wow.
Oh, so they were like, we can't have somebody debating us about communism because it's clearly better, and if they have this ring they'll always win the debate, but if we destroy it then we can use bad faith against them to end their communism.
That's right.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's rude.
It's fucked up.
That's pretty fucked up.
It's the kind of guy Tolkien was.
He was a racist.
That's all canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on the Redwall books.
What happens in those?
Oh, it's just all British racism. All the different animals are just different British stereotypes for like poor working class Brits.
Is that mm-hmm. true?
Some of it is 100%. Like literally, because I actually saw him do like in person a book signing, and he's like, every mole is based on one person. God, I don't remember what, you know, like in Britain, how there's like
one guy I knew.
Well, there's like the normal kind of accents, but then when you go to like the smaller like towns and areas, I don't know, like Surrey or something, he was just like somewhere where this guy like popped up out of nowhere and like said a bunch of stuff to him, but like his accent was so thick that it was incomprehensible. And that gave him the idea for moles. Like, hell no joke. Yes. That's what he said. It was just like, yeah, they're all just like a weird guy from wherever who has such a thick accent. Because as a kid, I was always like, what the hell are the moles saying? And they're always like, ooh, av, we, ah, ooh, ah. Like they have like half the words have an apostrophe at the beginning.
They're all in they're all from Wigan.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we lost the thread about prison labor, but that's okay.
We'll pick it up next time.
It's just strange doing this show, I think, for me, because the world has gotten so fucking bad. Very bleak. And it's like, you want to talk about, what to do. And the answer is, I don't know. I think that you should DM me about what you're doing, and we will talk about those things if you want to have a happier podcast. Otherwise, we're just going to talk about what we're doing these weeks
and, if you're,
and how and we're surviving.
If you're building a truck, DM me.
If you're if you're doing some fun, you know, projects, put that in the Discord. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see your fun.
You got scrap metal hauling tips, shit like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you go shooting a lot, if you're riding bikes, ride a bike a lot, that's fun.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, everybody's just trying to get through and try and make something better happen. So let us know about those things
sometimes
happening.
Sometimes it's not healthy to like get mad about everything that happens. Like, a bunch of horrific shit's happening. But if you put all of your mental energy into getting stressed out about every shitty thing that happens all the time, you're gonna like you might not even burn out, but you'll just be miserable all the time.
It actually doesn't help anybody for you to feel bad.
I mean, it's like, it's the sucky thing about it that like you can read about stuff that's horrifying, which you have no real ability to do anything about, but mm-hmm. you kind of have to like accept that and focus on like the smaller stuff that you do have the ability to put your mental energy into and do something about.
That's the Sigma grind set right there.
That is the Sigma grind set.
We've come full circle back to the Sigma grind set. And if you want to get our ebook on the Sigma grind set, it's only 4 easy installments of $29.99.
Right. And you can get that.
We're going to make that a Patreon tier where you get the whole grind set book.
You can get that at patreon.com/bpletus, where you will get that book and also a free
also
bonus
my forward
episode.
to that book called The Ligma Grind Set.
Yes. Yeah. And you will get a free, or not a free, but you'll get a weekly bonus episode.
It's free if you pay for it.
You'll get access to the Discord, and you can tweet at us at WeedPod and follow us individually from there. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Be bye, y'all.
Bye.